In certain cultures and certain denominations, there is an old spiritual discipline of listing blessings, naming them before God and giving thanks. In certain circumstances, it's a healthy thing to do, especially in a world where we all too often assume our stuff as entitled stuff for us. And that we have an absolute right to whatever we have. Health, happiness, and every possible creature comfort. Thanksgiving is a good time to do that. And I would encourage you to do that for the course of the next day or two when we celebrate officially this Thanksgiving season. Because especially in a time like ours, when recent events have raised the specter of disaster, uncertainty, perhaps even sudden loss of life or health or anything, it is good from time to time to just take stock and thank the giver of all things. Our story this morning comes from Luke's gospel and is situated right between a discussion of faith on the one side and then the coming of the kingdom of God on the other. And this is a story that's frequently mystified me. Why is it situated here? Why in this particular place is this little account placed? What is the significance of that? And then, have I really understood it correctly? What is the point of it? It's a short traveling story in which Jesus and his disciples, on their way to Jerusalem from Galilee, pass through the borderlands alongside this kind of outlaw place, this place which all Jews would have despised because it was made up of, apostates, of people who were beyond disgusting and people you just didn't associate with, Samaritans. And these are the people that Luke chooses to address the reader with a story about how Jesus interacts with them. Now, in this little group that accosts Jesus and asks for help, there are 9 Jews, and there is 1 Samaritan. And these all are kind of together with one common cause, and that is that they all suffer from leprosy. Now, because you were a sufferer of leprosy, you were ostracized from the community at large. You had to go away from everyone. It was thought to be contagious, extremely contagious. And so people would often make common cause because they needed, or they gained strength in numbers. And so you'd have people that shared this, able to overcome almost any other barrier and live together and be together in order to give them a larger number and perhaps increase their security. And these people, having heard of Jesus and knowing something about him, perhaps his kind of reputation of being a healer of sorts, they respectfully keep their distance, but they call on him to ask him for help. They're looking for charity of any kind, maybe some food, perhaps healing, but they just ask and they call out, "Please help us." And Jesus' first response is just to look at them. It says, Jesus looked at them. And I wonder what they thought as he looked, like, is Jesus wondering whether it's worthy of his time, of his energy, of anything, that he should even spend any effort thinking about this? Is he thinking, what have these people done to deserve this? So they wait, perhaps as the moments pass by, thinking and sinking thoughts, nothing's going to happen. And then Jesus tells them to go to a priest to be declared clean, that is, to be given a certificate to allow them to re-enter community, so that they can become respected members again of their wider Jewish community. Have you noticed something strange here? There are 9 Israelites, and there is 1 Samaritan. They're all supposed to go to see a priest. The Samaritan would never go. He would never be accepted. He would never be allowed. There is no extra kind of requirement or a different requirement for him. And so they just go. They go without any expectation. They just go because Jesus told them to go. And it says on the way, they discover that the leprosy has left them. Nine of them keep on going, straight to the priest, probably really exuberantly happy. Finally, they can meet their families again. Perhaps finally they can go and interact with friends and see people that they've always known and loved and cared for and kind of reestablish the rhythms of community that they've always known. Perhaps thinking that they've been released from a certain death sentence, far away from loved ones, far away from things they knew. But one only, before resuming his journey, and we're not sure where he went. Perhaps he just decided this priest thing wasn't worthwhile because he wasn't of that faith. He comes back to Jesus to express personally his gratitude. And having done that, and having praised God and recognized in God the source of all that was good in his life, the first thing Jesus says in this account is, where are the others? Where are the others? And then Jesus saying to this man, you know, get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. And that's where the story ends. Now, there's some things here that we need to know that you might not know from the English. One is that the word that Jesus uses for get up is a word that would have been commonly understood by first century Christians as the word for resurrection. You were dead. Now you are alive. Or as we might say in our time, they were dead men walking. Now they are alive. He was dead, but is now alive, and he's understood that, and he recognizes that and acknowledges the one who could raise him from the dead. I want to just, in a brief time, offer 3 different readings of this story. The first one is, this is a beautiful and simple story of one solitary man out of 10 desperate souls who are seeking help, doing so respectfully, reverently, and passionately. And Jesus honoring their request. He makes one requirement of them, because it was custom, that they go to see the priest, get a certificate that allows them to enter or re-enter community as healthy and able people, to join the mainstream, to rejoin their families and carry on with life. They go and they are healed. It doesn't say that their healing was rescinded because he didn't come back to thank Jesus personally. It just says that they went on their way. The second reading says a little more. It probes a little more deeply into what the story may imply and mean. The 10 lepers see Jesus and at a respectful distance call for assistance. And it is the calling that provides the opportunity. Jesus, have mercy on us. And when Jesus tells them to go and visit the priests, they all go in obedience. It doesn't say that they were supposed to come back and thank him if things changed. They just go. But only the one man came back because he saw the work of God and all that had happened. And his recognition that Jesus was more than just a holy man, some healer who had a particular gift, but this was actually a work of the living God. He knelt at Jesus' feet in an act of worship and expressed his gratitude. So unlike the others who saw Jesus with a connection to God, but not necessarily as one showing forth God's presence right there and then to them. They worshiped, or he worshiped him. And in that little modifying phrase, we understand the point of this story. And the phrase is, and he was a Samaritan. The scorned, the weak, the other, the people who were completely outside all respectability. The Samaritan never went back to the priests because he was a Samaritan. Rather, he became one of Jesus' people. He became one of the resurrected, one of those who was given a new life, a new impetus for living. In other words, he heard the words, "You are now one of my followers. You are now part of this new kingdom I am establishing." That very day, he wasn't only reborn in the flesh, he was reborn in his spirit as a child of the living God. Faith indeed healed him, and he recognized it for what it was, and he recognized Jesus for who he was. But I think also that this story is a story and a reminder for those of us who read it again for the first time. I realize in this story that when I think of myself in this story, I am most like the 9. On their way to get on with their lives. I realize that my tendency would be to say, I've spent too long spinning my tires, waiting for something to happen, missing life and opportunity, let's just get on with it. Now everything's good. To walk back means to waste time. The point I want to make for us here is that This is God's world. And for many of us who live here, we walk through it almost unconsciously of the wonder of the world in which we live. The wonder of the health which many of us enjoy naturally, unconsciously, perhaps often just part of our expectation of life. As we age, as certain things happen to us, perhaps there are little reminders, some of them quite big, that we take things for granted. But Thanksgiving is a time in which we remember. Health isn't a right, it's a gift. It's not an entitlement, but something to be grateful to God for every day and to be used for God's glory. And so in this story, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, I see in it a reminder to turn again to Jesus, to acknowledge that he is the presence of God in our lives, that in God's grace in our lives, we are included within those called God's people, calling us to follow Jesus in the newness of life. And so I say to you this morning, happy Thanksgiving. Amen.